And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to what we will call a weekly edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. And you know what? Why not? We'll call it our trade deadline preview.
And
post-game, Klay scores 40, whatever the hell he scored.
42 points, 40. Zero free throws in the first NBA game since 2021, a couple seasons since, 40-plus and no free throws. Classic Klay. He did in 2019 also, I saw.
But how many dribbles?
He had a few.
Yeah, I didn't.
Klay dribbles now. That's
yes,
who he is.
Does. He's a dribbler. He's just a dribbler. He's just a seeker. It was obviously another a great Klay moment. Great. You know, they were talking about afterwards. Blowout victory, have not felt that very often this season, even here, because there's been a lot of close wins, but not a blowout where you're thinking like, okay, when's he, and Marcus is trying to figure out when Kerr's going to pull the guys out, the starters out. I was like, he's not going to pull out, they can't kick this one back too. Took him a while, but it would felt old school with Klay shooting the way it is. Very, very good, very efficient. Maybe the best game in Jordan Poole's career, according to Kerr and Draymond, right up there.
I don't agree.
Yeah, it's an efficient game. It was them trying to encourage him to be more efficient like this, as opposed to high volume.
It's what they do, right? Remember when Wiseman played 10 minutes against Memphis on Christmas and had a couple verticalities, and they're like, greatest Wiseman game ever. It's like, he did score 30 a couple nights ago, but I
score a bucket. Remember, it's it's the best we've ever seen him play. Yeah,
that help side rotation was excellent.
Positive reinforcement. Yes, that's what it is.
Encourage what they saw.
So what they're really saying is that is the most he's the game he's played the most we want him to play is what they're really saying. He was good
for Klay. Klay was hot, and then Jordan actually passed it to him. But that's really good. It's what a point guard's supposed to do. He did play great. I thought he played pretty good defense too, so I think he's actually been playing better defense lately. It's still not great, and they're still putting DiVincenzo in there to close games. I'll play defense, but he is raising his game. The offense goes up and down, but tonight was a really good all-around game. Really, really good all-around game for Poole
was excellent. I agree. It was the best game I've ever seen him play. Forget the playoff games when he dropped 30 on the road. Forget all that.
Forget all of March and April last year where he was hitting he had games with 9 threes.
This game, career high, 13 assists.
Greatest comment ever about Jordan Poole right now. He's never made a comment better than Jordan Poole.
This is the best we've ever seen. Nah, that's their wildest.
He was okay.
Well, it was without Steph. A game at home where they're kind of 50-50, Oklahoma City's been playing well. I think they felt like he reached, he met the moment, whatever this moment is, this kind of teeter-totter moment in the season. I think they were also feeling really good about that he did not shrink from this.
He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He moved the ball. He took a couple tough shots, but that's what they mean. Hey, don't turn the ball over like crazy. Don't take a bunch of wild shots. Move the ball. It's not difficult to do, but also it helps that Klay's going off. Because if Klay's not making shots, where do they get the offense from? He can't be the facilitator, the floor general, when they're not getting buckets. It helped tonight that Klay was going off. That's what really helps.
So you get assists when guys are just chucking threes right after they catch the ball.
43 assists, by the way, which is what, season high in the NBA, something like that? It's a lot.
Oklahoma City doesn't play much defense.
They actually do. They're like eighth.
Remember the bucket Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to town. It's like, oh, it's great defense. It's like, yeah, they're not good. They're just I don't know. It's something
they're long. I can see where they'd be. You know, they're a little tough on the ball. But, yeah, there were some issues with maybe overhelp.
Like
Marcus Thompson.
And they're done. They're
overhelp.
Like, yeah.
It was the overhelp stuff.
I don't know. I mean, the comment, I was just, you know, chat with their coach, and he was like, we have not had many nights like this. I don't know. Like, it's something about Clay, too. Like, Clay just sees their jerseys and, like, just turns into a flamethrower.
I mean, it's when Clay's been trying to channel the former Clay of pre-injury, I'm sure Oklahoma City were the jerseys and the visuals. I'm sure the vision board had Thunder jerseys in it because that's just what he does.
Kings jerseys. Slater's two teams. He's just targeting Slater's two ball clubs. 37 points in the first quarter against the Kings.
What beef you got with you, Slater? A Clay coming for you like this.
I
have a really good game as Oklahoma State once. Yeah,
he actually did knock Oklahoma State out of the tournament I was at Oklahoma State.
It started then.
The Marshall. I think he might have ended the Keaton Page era at Oklahoma State. Oh now God. That I think about it, he really did knock him out. I shouldn't say the tournament. He knocked him out of the NIT.
Oh, okay.
So it says
the other tournament.
Yeah, you know, the real tournament. Wow, maybe you did just find something, because I hadn't thought about that game in a decade.
What? All right, I mean, Steve, you know, he was a little sensitive when we asked about it, but, I mean, is that not wild? He put his starters back in up 25 when Oklahoma City's bench is empty?
I was not surprised. It was like 8 minutes left, 7 minutes left. It was... like, they could kick it back.
They could kick it back.
Giddey was still in, and they could. It. Well, they had the other Wiggins. So I keep thinking
Aaron.
The other, he was in there too. But you know, with 5 minutes left, maybe 4 minutes left, not with eight, not with seven and a half, they could kick it. We saw what happened at the end of last game. We saw Ty Jerome was like start dribbling the ball off his knee a couple times, couple threes, and then all of a sudden
they tried to do with this game too.
Yeah, so I could see that. He emptied it with like what, four and a half, five. That felt about right. And every time you said that to me, the Oklahoma City would score a bucket. It's like, you know what? It's not no longer 21. It's 19 right now. So, but it's the first time Kerr's had to think about it. Like, this is one of the first times where they've actually had a, well, gee, how long do I play my starters? And he wasn't going to do it right when, because the Thunder did it fast. Like, they got the back-to-back against in L.A. tomorrow. So,
They're trying to stop LeBron from the record tomorrow.
They did it fast. So you don't exactly
that's
have to do
stingy
it.
Stingy defense.
They don't have to do it exactly when the other team gives in. You can keep your guys in for
I'm
a little
saying,
while.
If the other team puts in Ryan Rollins and Patrick Baldwin, you're like, we can pull our starters. That's typically how it goes.
By the way, you know who finished the game? One of the Warriors starters, Jonathan Kuminga, because they're so short.
Yeah.
They have 11 players, I think, active for tonight.
That's what
so.
Steve said. They're, like, getting rotations together. It's just a wild visual, right, just to see, like, they've Shea's down. Like, they're done. They're putting in guys who look like they – that one guy looked like he's a football player.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh, he missed a layup too.
Yeah. He missed it right against the rim.
Wiggins and Looney after that. It's like he's really running the starters back.
Going against Oklahoma State legend Lindy Waters III, by the way, was on the floor.
Is useful right here. This kind of stuff. He's coming up with it.
Oh, I mean, trust me. We can go deep if you want. But so. We should probably go like talking. We're gonna hype this podcast as a trade deadline preview. We should probably get into it.
Here's a question I would say, like, do you think this moment, this game, whatever you're thinking, changes anything the way the Warriors will approach or should approach a trade deadline? I think we all believe it's unlikely they might do anything, even like middling. They might do something on the margins.
Yeah.
But do you think, like, hey, wait a minute, they're. What are they like? What did I just say? Like half game and a half out of the four seed, something like that. Like, you know, they're also a game and a half out of the 10 seed. It's the same weird mess in the West. But does a game like this without Steph make you think maybe they should try to put some pieces together and make some, you know, just even for a seventh man? Does that change it for you?
So I wouldn't say that this game changes it, but I will say, and I'm going to put this in my story so I feel comfortable saying it. The noise around the league is they're being a little bit more active than they had been. You know, the aggressiveness seems to be ticking up. That does not mean anything is going to happen, but there does seem to be a little bit more. Like, I believe it's more of a possibility they do something than I believed a week ago.
Like what?
And the league does too. I think the young guys.
I think they pick one or two young guys, and it's like, all right, we're this is the compromise. I don't think one of them will be named James, and I don't think one of them will be named Jonathan.
I think one of them could be named James.
Yeah. Could be. I don't think. I wonder. We haven't seen his biggest supporter, by the way.
He's playing golf. But, Joe.
I just wonder if, in order to pull that trigger on James, is the package available?
That's the point. I don't think they were ever, like, Wiseman and Moody, who we're talking about, were ever off the table. It's just they wanted value back. Like, they wanted real value. And I don't know that that's, a Caruso, a Kuzma, that's what they want. And I don't think that's available.
No.
You're going to have to take a ratchet it way down. But I don't know what that is. So, what's the level where they say, Jared Vanderbilt, is that enough?
I just don't.
And it might take them both, by the way. It really might take them both because that contract of Wiseman's is big next year. So they just might want to just get off of Wiseman. Now, Joe Lacob probably doesn't, but there might be other people
which is
who just want,
here.
Yeah, they just might want to get off that contract to create some flexibility. This is where I don't know. But
from what I've gathered, like, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, is, you know, the deadline conversations really aren't, you know, it's more fringe kind of conversations. That the offers were not good for the young guys. It was basically like, you know, these teams making a call like, look, if you want to give them away, sure. They've gotten a little bit more serious the last few days as, like, this is league-wide. I mean, conversations.
We're closer to the deadline. Yes, that's what it gets real.
Yeah, and it has been, like, there have been more realistic offers to at least think about. But it sounds like a lot of it is, like, future pick type of value. And you know, if the Warriors do make a move, from my understanding, it's not going to be for future value. It's going to be for now. And I don't know what you're saying is correct. Where, like, okay, Alex Caruso would take what you would have to blow the Bulls away to even get him.
Kuminga, I think. And that kind.
And
of,
guess
I
what?
They're not doing.
No.
So we all kind of agree. Kuminga is, like, first on the, like, not that he won't go, but. He's last on the list of players to go.
He's last on the list of the young guys. Now, if somehow they wanted to get into, like, you know, the OG Anunoby ballpark, if they wanted to go big swinging, you've got to. But, you know, because he's the one that actually.
What they do it for, the big swing. Yeah. The big, we're going to change the trajectory.
It's basically their two number one picks, right? Like, everyone can throw two number one. They can't. Because of the Iguodala situation, their next pick they can trade is 2026. I guess you could put that in there. But instead of that, it would be Kuminga. That would be their, okay, you're going to put a bunch of picks together, it would be Kuminga.
To me, from what he's shown the last couple of months, like, if I was at the Raptors, for example, or, you know, name your team, I would value him more than a 2027 unprotected first.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's their equivalent of that.
Maybe even more. You know, to me, it'd be worth like 1.5 for
a trend. I agree. But I'm just saying when teams are Deontay Murray gets first round
picks. We got a couple picks. The Warriors are saying, well, we got Kuminga, right?
You count that as two picks. And then maybe they throw 2026 in there and you get something great. And even then, I'm not sure, you know, what the level of that is. You know, I don't think that's Anunoby. It's something bigger than that, I would say. I don't think I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's Moody, it's Wiseman. It might be Baldwin. I mean, you know, who knows? Like, if they're just moving pieces around, teams are
walking away from Baldwin.
Teams might be interested in Baldwin. I think they might get value out of him. But again, I don't know what that gets them. I just don't know what gets them.
The player like matters more, right? Like we don't what comes available. Like all that stuff is why it's percolating now, because now teams see where they are. They're like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand pat or not? So some of this stuff, like if it's Jared Vanderbilt, maybe not. If it's Sadiq Bey, maybe you do it, right? It comes, like, it's very
that's
situational.
I would do it. I would do Wiseman and Moody for Sadiq Bey. I would do that. If that's a deal on the table.
Both,
I
think,
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, because you're not
Moody and PBJ.
You wouldn't put Wiseman in there?
I don't know if it was.
Yeah,
contract,
I mean, but then
the contract's
huge. You know, the other weird thing is, like, the other tough thing I think with Wiseman is, like, center is, like, there's not that many teams that, like, are so empty at center that they're ready to just hand him, all these project minutes. Where you think about Detroit, right? You, theoretically, in your mind, well, Detroit is a rebuilding team. That could use any type of projects. Yeah, guess what? They have Jared Durant. They have Isaiah Stewart. They have Marvin Bagley. Yeah. They're in the Wembanyama sweepstakes. Like, you know, it's just where are his minutes essentially there. So
like Houston got Sengun, right? Yeah, like yeah, you start right, looking.
I mean, it's not a lot.
And like, Spurs to me kind of fit.
Yeah.
Toronto has been looking for a center.
Somebody liked him in the draft, right? There's going to be somebody who really liked him come out of the draft, has been disappointed, but still, like, there's a Joe Lacob out there who's not owning the Warriors who might say, I still think this guy's got
when
it.
When I see that running hook tonight,
that was a nice, like, little sweeping lefty hook.
He's like his eyes light up. Okay, he got Oklahoma City, like, he got Clay and then Moody and Wiseman all, like, played against the Thunder. This is the best all three of them have looked in a little while. Yeah, I would agree that it's going to take something for them important. You know, it can't just be a 9th, 10th guy. It can't be JTA. I don't know disregarding this JTA, hey, but it can't
man,
be that.
Yeah. No, nah, come on, man.
I'm trying
man.
To think of a 12th, 11th guy. I'm sorry.
It has to be that.
Not from Oakland.
It has to be somebody that's at, like, the DiVincenzo level of, like, look, you're a bench player, but on certain nights, like, you're close.
And there's not even a question. Like, you are in the rotation. It can't
and
be like,
also,
yeah.
Like, doesn't it have to be, like, moving forward, too? Like, you're not giving up assets for a rental.
Hey, this is why I run in the $12 million contract for Wiseman. Like, they can't have him, Poole, and Draymond all on the team next year. Now, Draymond might make that. Yeah, it's going to pay. Like, yeah, Draymond might make that answer for them. But if you're planning on any future where Draymond's on your team, you can't have those three all together unless you're going to pay $450, $460 million, and I just don't think they're going to, especially if they don't win a championship. Like, all these things are in the mix. Like, they need a deep run to pay for all this and then figure out what's going to happen in the future. I just think they need to get off of Wiseman's contract. And, you know, you can do it in July. You can do it in next February. But the ticking clock becomes, you get more desperate, and it's just going to be a giveaway. And maybe now it doesn't have to be a giveaway. We'll see. I just don't think those guys are going to get you enough that makes a difference. I might be wrong,
but I think it's
debatable that line.
In the offseason, like, if they don't win a championship, and it's clearly, all right, we need to remake this thing. Like, Wiseman helps you probably more in that scenario than he does at deadline. Like, where you could put him with something, and now everybody's on the table.
You mean, like, put him with a good, like,
Clay? Yeah, put him with, like, Clay. Yeah. Like, if you want to put him with Draymond or whatever, right now, it's just, like, it feels
that's
like
about $12 million, but, man. That's
But if you, like, if you do it now, he's not in big swing territory. Like, he's
no, he's not.
But he could be a part of a big swing in the offseason, and that feels more valuable. Because you still got to get Joe to, you know, all right, I'm walking away from my future here. I had a lot, you know, this going
it's
going to take a lot.
To do that in July than
after
it is
they
now.
Don't win a title, and you know, like, we're shaking this thing up, like, big time, then maybe.
Rio, maybe let some feelings know. But, I would do it now. I would just do it now just to do it. I'm probably wrong. But I would do it now and then just live with the consequences. You missed on a pick. You tried and you missed. I don't think Joe Lacob is going to make that decision. But
Let me ask you both this. What if they did make a deal that got off Wiseman and got, like, a future, let's say, a lottery protected first? Because you're not going to get a great first, obviously. But let's say there was a team out there that, you know, because there are some teams that have stockpiled draft picks. You know, Utah, for example. Think about, you know, if they're like, yeah, take one of these Minnesota picks, we have them all.
You could be Walker Kessler's backup.
So that would be...
Well, that's not that big a deal for them at this point. But
yeah. I'm just using them as an example. But my question to you guys is, what if it is a trade like that that doesn't get you any win-now value, which I know they are searching for, but it kind of restocks an asset in the cupboard, and it helps maybe when you need to make moves in the summer, and it just in it and it's
you,
financial.
You can trade your own first also, because you have a first, so you don't need to hold it because you're giving away 24. Like, I would do that. I would absolutely do that. I would even do it as a swap or something where you gain some amount of value. I would do it because I think they're gonna have to do it anyway.
The conclusion then, like, Kuminga is as valuable or more valuable than a future first-round pick, is the conclusion that Wiseman isn't?
I think so.
I mean, look, like, let's be honest. Like, one is a legitimate, like, seventh man right now, has had real moments this year, like, big nights, again, guarding stars in the league, has had down, you know, not that Wiseman hasn't had 20-point games, but like really, really impactful games. Like looks like a future wing in a wings league. The other is an ill-fitted center on a bigger contract that looks much further away.
I'm just saying, do you?
The answer to your question is yes. That is what we're saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's. I think there's two or three Joe Lacobs out there who's like, no, this dude is worth more than this number two pick.
Why don't they do it now? Let's do it now instead of July.
Wait. You're not on the table for it. Like, now you're just dealing with people who are either tanking their season or...
No, they think this is a great opportunity to go get somebody off the Warriors who are got to get off the money. Let's do it now. I mean, we don't know. We're both saying stuff. We don't know what the interest is. I'm just saying I'd rather do it now than the clock starts ticking in July and then you start having to move. Like, they had to move Andre Iguodala to Memphis to get out of something because, yeah, they had to do all these things for D'Angelo Russell. You don't want it to come down to work. I got to give somebody a first-round pick to take James Wiseman's contract. I just don't think they want to get into that moment.
Yeah, but if you do, you get rid of Wiseman and then Draymond walks.
Oh, yeah, that's not great. No, it's not great. Yeah. I just don't count Wiseman as a player for them. As long as Steph Curry's going to be
there. I will say this. There still is. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
There still is, and this goes beyond Joe Lacob. There still is people in the organization that are like, if we could see him play, like, they still want more data on him, are not ready to just go complete right off.
4 minutes and 41 seconds tonight. What else?
And 6 points and 2 rebounds.
You know what I'm saying? Out there getting buckets.
What is it, plus minus? I don't even know. It's probably half decent. But that's the only way you get anything is Wiseman and Moody, or Wiseman or Moody. I don't think Moody gets you. Like, what do you think Moody's worth? I mean, a second? I mean, I just don't think he's worth.
I mean, you could maybe get creative. Like, the one I see with him is, like, there are a lot of these rookie contract guys out there, impending restricted free agents that, you know, for whatever reason, their team, like, you know, P.J. Washington and Charlotte is an example. We've mentioned Sadiq Bey. As these, it seems like semi-available rookie contract young guys that just haven't quite worked. And Moody's in that bucket right now. So, like, maybe to me, a flip.
One for one?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
He's not getting you Sadiq Bey. P.J. Washington is I think he's an interesting player. I think he would play on this team. I think he'd be the backup four, kind of Kuminga-like, and go get buckets for you because he can do that.
Yeah, only problem for them is P.J. Washington is – entering restricted free agency, Moody has more clock. Yeah, yeah. Where if you're Charlotte, if you don't feel like you're going to sign P.J. Washington, that would be a great deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of deal that might work. Just because you are – it's differing levels of value. And if P.J. Washington walks, he walks. But he might help you this year, and he might love it. He might be Andrew Wiggins all over again. And you have a quality player who fits your system if he does. If he doesn't, then so what? You tried. He has a talent to be pretty good for you. Like, he does – what does he do? He gets those, you know, little inside – mid-range twos.
That's yeah, that, best. Threes,
yeah. Does he three? Yeah. It's like, this is
too many threes. Yeah,
too many threes.
He's not very good for Charlotte. Let's put that out there.
Yeah, like, well, yeah.
There's a little, hey, listen. There's a lot of weird players out
there.
You
can't guard Eric Paschal. We know that.
I know. Put it down. Just bring Paschal back. Bring Paschal back and everything.
He used to cook that dude.
Look, he can't guard Eric Paschal, and Luka can't score on Nemanja Bjelica.
Hard to come to a lot of big conclusions with that stuff. The stuff that we've seen from this team.
again, I just keep going back to it. I think they would move Wiseman and Moody. I just don't know. I don't know what you get. And I think, you know, they're going to want
so
more.
You'd move Wiseman before you move PBJ?
Yes. Yes, because the $12 million. You know, it's just like that is a bomb. That's a bomb waiting for them. I didn't think it was going to be a bomb when they extended him, but it is. It's like, because if you just can't take the money off anywhere else, you can't move Clay yet. So you got this thing sitting there that's going to take you to $450 million.
Break bread.
Just pay it. It's a nice building we're sitting in right now.
new TV deal coming?
I don't know. They might have to pay their team president the $15 million, and they might
maybe that's where the money's coming off of.
We just saved some money.
There's Wiseman's money right there.
You took them. We're gonna pay him with your money. I go back and forth on this, but. I think that if they don't make a move, if I'm then I would. But if they don't make a move, I think they're making the playoffs. I think we all think that. We're not sure what seed. I think it's 6-7. You know, maybe you get out of play-in, maybe you don't. But I think if they're 7, they'll win a play-in game. And then I think they're dangerous against anybody. I don't know that they're going to win 4 rounds as old as they are.
Don't you and take off championship expectations? No. They're a scary team.
Yeah, no
if you're
question.
Looking at them like,
no
oh, they're not going
to
win a title.
I think Denver would not want to see them. And we know Memphis would not want to see them. So that's what they are. I don't think a trade really changes that. I mean, maybe it helps them, get another series just because they have a little more depth. I don't think it makes them a championship favorite, but nobody wants to play them, and that's what their card they've got. And if they can get Steph back healthy, and let's put it this way, like Steph's going to be fresh for the playoffs now, right?
We've seen this movie though.
It's kind of a weird injury, but
we've seen this movie last. I mean, if he's out 6 weeks and they somehow manage to hold serve, like you got Steph fresh, mid March, late March, heading into the playoffs, like that's. There could be worse scenarios. And this is like the fourth time this happened, too. It happened with KD. It happened with Steph. Yeah. Right? It happened with Steph again. Like, this is – they just have to hold serve, right? And that starts with beating bad teams. If they just beat the bad teams, they'll be all right.
And they beat these kind of teams. Like, Oklahoma City is not a bad team. But Portland's
– losing
team. But Portland's in that, and it's going to be a tough game up there. But these are the kind of games that are going to make the difference between being – a shot at the 4 seed or the 5 seed, or struggling around at 7 or 8, because they could easily be 7 or 8. There's no question they could be 7 or 8. The way they play on the road, they could be 7 or 8.
And they might have to go on the road as 8.
Exactly. And even like you have to win a play-in game, or having to play 2 play-in games if you lose the first one. These are the games that are going to decide it. I think that's why they felt so great about this one, because this is one of the no Steph first game without Steph. And they kicked ass. Doesn't mean at all that they're going to keep doing this. But that's why I think that's why the mood was so good. And it might alter some things as they go. Like, what if they had gotten destroyed in this game? Like, that would have felt pretty significant, I think.
Shea made a few early jumpers, and you were ready to sell the team. Sell it all.
They lose this game. They play this kind of – that defense the first quarter was terrible.
Yeah.
If this is who they are without Steph – then what are they going to be the next 4 games without Steph? Maybe way more games than that. We don't know. And then we're
likely extending beyond the All-Star break.
Where are they going to be? They're going to be at the 9 seed. They're going to be at the 10 seed. They're going to be 11 seed. And then Steph comes back and you make this mad dash to get to the 7. That doesn't feel like a really wonderful situation for them. They win it big. It feels a little different. Again, we might change our mind again, in the next 2 days.
Knowing that's the thing, wouldn't... getting just an extra body.
No, I mean, you want to. Yeah.
I want to bring up a topic. I think this is relevant in this trade deadline conversation. A month ago, Jermichael Green, he has this pretty bad staph infection. He wasn't great before he got it. He got COVID. He was kind of fringe rotation. And honestly, the general thought was he was the guy to move to save tax money. He was the rotation spot that needed upgrading, right? He was the ninth.
Of the rotation.
Yeah, he was. But that, like, when they made the roster, there was, figuring that he could kind of, not as well as Otto Porter, but kind of be in the Otto Porter role. And he had not played it well. And so it was likely come deadline time they might move off him to save some tax. And even if you brought somebody in or you convert Anthony Lamb, you are doing that in the Jermichael Green place. Well, pretty good timing by JaMychal Green, but he has been good. You know, he came back in that Cleveland game, first game back, was like, ooh, wow, that was the best game he's played. And really, he's kind of carried that momentum over, and you saw it on this homestand. Both games of this homestand, he's been like a difference maker off the bench. Toughness, you know, interior, he's like dunked several times, like quick jump dunks. He's hit threes, too.
Help side blocks.
Help side blocks. Is he just the ninth man? Like, do you feel comfortable going through the deadline as him? Like, he's the ninth man?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get anybody better. So, and he's better than Wiseman. And, like, on some nights he's going to play 12 minutes because Kuminga's going to play a ton. And some nights he's going to play 16 to 18 minutes because Kuminga's not great or other issues. And I think he's been good. And he might hit a three-pointer. Like, he will hit one a game, basically, for the last three, 4 games. That's huge. Those are important. And he's tough. He grabs, you know, loose balls. These are things they could use. You know, he's not a great player, and he's a little bit less than fluid offensively. But he's like a vertical player. Like, they don't have a lot of those. So, yeah, I think he's going to be their backup center, or, you know, or third center if you count Draymond as your backup center. And I think they're relatively comfortable. They don't want to put a new guy in that spot, and, like, what if he's completely terrible? And then what do they do? Just be, you know, we've gone over this, the Bielitsa thing. Like, just having somebody they like who's going to do the normal
the
stuff.
The funny thing is, we've talked plenty about Bielitsa. You guys probably remember, like, there was a long regular season stretch where Bielitsa really struggled last year. Remember that?
Remember that? I was.
Yeah, you were pounding the table for like.
Get him out. He wouldn't shoot the ball.
So, man, but he liked to play make off the dribble. Marcus Thompson, let me ask you, are you believing this JaMychal Green stretch? Are you believing suddenly, like, you know what? Maybe this is your ninth man?
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, but the reason is he's a veteran, right? Like he's been in these situations before. At some point, you know, if he's healthy, it makes sense, right? Like, there was a part where he was looking like he just might be washed. Like, not like, all right, you had a great run, but it's over. But, I mean, I like the juice in his legs. Like, he's trying to dunk everything. His three looks good. And to me, if he's got some juice, I mean, we've watched this dude in the playoffs play veteran basketball. That's what they need.
Against
the Warriors. Yeah, they need dudes who could play. To me, it feels like you're in a playoff series, right? And it's matchups, and, you know, like, he's somebody who you can feel good about throwing out there. Some of these other guys, you don't know. Like, you don't know what you're going to get, but you feel like they like JaMychal, and they can trust him out there.
Well, that's the big thing. The veterans like JaMychal Green. And Draymond Green really likes JaMychal Green.
I love that dude. But there's a little loony in that sense. It's like, all right, he might not wow you, but he's going to be in the right place. It just makes sense that he's found this. Like, this is what he has been. This is more a progression to the mean, right? Like, where it's like, all right, now he looks like the dude we saw with the Clippers and with Denver, right? All right, it makes sense. Now, he could go, like, it could go away, you know.
But again, the timing was good because, like, they have to make a decision on him before Thursday. And I think the decision he's made it, I think, simpler for them to be like, ride it.
He's the one dude on the team right now that catches the ball in the paint with 2 feet and goes up to dunk it.
Kuminga.
Kuminga does it on the run. Yeah. Like, but just like, I got the ball, there's people around. I'm going to dunk it or get fouled. He's the one guy who's doing that. Like, you know, Kuminga, when he gets in there, he's doing the fade. But if he's got to run the start, he might bang on you. Yeah, yeah. Looney doesn't do it. You know, JaMychal was like, if I gotta travel, I'm gonna dunk on you. And I do think that's kind of important, like, especially in the playoff setting. So, yeah,
it might not catch it, but that's all right. No, I don't think they're doing better than him. I mean, I would be surprised. I don't think they're getting Poeltl. Poeltl would be the only guy, I think, on the market.
Jared Vanderbilt. Like,
but he's an easy center, powerful. I don't know. Cause,
I mean, he's like JaMychal Green.
I guess so. He just hasn't played big in my memory, but maybe he could. They play those guys at center. That's what they play.
By the way, after what you see, what he tweeted today,
It wasn't today, dude. That was today, a tweet from 2016. Oh, you sent it to me.
Sent it to me today.
Why would he send it to you? Why would he tweet that today?
I was like, does he not want to come to the Warriors?
What did he say? It was like a Kyrie is better than Steph. But he just clearly tweeted it during the 2016 finals. But Marcus is over here thinking he just...
Somebody sent it to me because we were talking about Vanderbilt.
Jared Vanderbilt will be wild right before the deadline just be tweeting that.
That's literally... I was talking with, you know, somebody about Vanderbilt and the possibilities, right? And then they sent it to me, like, well, I guess that kills it for him. And I'm like, why would he do this?
Always check the date.
Yeah, right now. He's doing it right now. Kyrie.
That was like a high school Jared Vanderbilt watching the finals. Like, this
On, I didn't look at the date. I was just like, man. Slater, do you see this?
I mean, I saw it. I was going to
say. Slater didn't even say nothing either. He wasn't even like it. So I've been thinking that all day, like Jared Vanderbilt.
Clearly, you brought it to the pod.
Waiting for it. He's bringing that one on.
So, yeah. Last trade deadline.
2016.
I know. Last trade deadline topic I wanted to discuss with you guys.
Oh, Jared Vanderbilt, like 18 years old.
Like after, yeah. It was after Kyrie shot.
I know.
Yeah.
That's when it was after. Yeah, it was after Kyrie shot.
Fair time for a high school kid to tweet that. Yeah, probably rooting for the Cavaliers.
Bad, Jared, that's, my bad. I've been thinking, like, this dude is wild.
That would be wild.
You're going to look at past Twitter feeds, Alex Caruso now. It's like Kyle Kuzma. You're going to be looking at all this stuff. Come on, Marcus. Come on, Marcus. Nah. All right, what's your last tweet?
Did you see what he tweeted today?
Did you see what he tweeted 7 years ago?
So, you know, part of the reason why, you know, with the conversation Tim was talking about earlier where, like, you know, they could get in the playoffs, they could upset teams. So, well, part of that is how soft the West is, right? I mean, the one seed is Denver, who they look good, but, you know, that doesn't scream typical number one seed. Memphis has lost, like, 8 of 9. They're kind of floundering at 2 right now. Sacramento's 3.
New Orleans is, like, in the play-in right now.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Tumbling out of it.
It's they had lost 10 in a row. They beat the Kings, now. Yeah. So, like,
they just beat the Kings.
That's, they crushed the Kings. Yeah, with no De'Aaron Fox. Must be noted, De'Aaron Fox.
Beam did not get lit. That's the
only. See, Buddy Hield beat him. The Patriots beat the Kings, and Buddy Hield was really taunting him with the. We're lighting the beam tonight. Buddy Hield and the Sacramento are a underrated rivalry. And
I just can't believe
you guys sidetracked me
when Trey Murphy like never misses. I've never seen the dude miss. It's unbelievable.
Does he always shoot like a set shot? Yeah, like set shot. I didn't realize that. Like that was weird. Yeah,
okay, you guys sidetracked me. My point is, part of the reason that like there's still a belief, like as bad as the Warriors have been at times this season, that they're a threat is how bad the West is. But that might change by Thursday. You know, you've already seen Dallas rearrange who they are. We'll see if that works. But, you know, I see in my mind a possible Dallas being a bigger threat than they were 2 days ago, right? You saw them in here, how bad that roster was. What if the Clippers get Fred VanVleet? What if the Lakers, you know, they probably have missed their swing. But, you know, what if it's Westbrook for Gary Trent and VanVleet? Not saying that that makes them some type of contender. I think the big one's the Clippers. The Clippers are starting to look better. I think they're at 4. They're
still like the second favorite in the corny odds.
They're starting to they're sitting at 4 now. Kawhi's looking better. Paul George is healthy. And let's say they do get a VanVleet and upgrade that point guard spot, and you know they're willing to pay for it, right? I mean, so that's the one thing I'm watching in the next few days. Like, how do teams in the West load up?
Yep. And the Clippers are the team I would, if I'm the Warriors, like, if we're talking about how many teams would be worried if they face the Warriors, or the Warriors would like, we probably prefer not to play the Clippers if possible, even above maybe Denver and certainly Memphis. But, and the matchups are going to be huge.
Memphis gets Anunoby, maybe. You know, they finally cash in some of the youth.
Would they cash in Bane? Would they have to move Bane for that?
No, you could do like Dylan Brooks and some first. Oh, yeah. Zaire Williams. You know, it sounds like Toronto.
Wouldn't even be like playing Memphis if it's not Dylan Brooks, really? I mean, come on. I wouldn't even know. It's going to be the matchups. Like, it's just going to be who gets who right away. Because, like, Minnesota is, like, 6 now, right? Something like that. Like, you know, if you get Minnesota, you're feeling great. If you get Memphis, you're feeling not so good. It's just it's such a jumble there. But, yeah, the Clippers, I think, would be the team. Because I was looking at the Vegas odds a little while ago, and it was like Clippers were way up there. And like, you know what? And I had to look back. I go, no, they are a formidable team. Not having a great season, but – I mean, they're like the Warriors, though. Like, with Steph, you know, who knows if Kawhi and Paul George are going to make it through a playoff series. Forget about 4 of them. But If they're healthy, that would be a tough one for the Warriors.
No problem, yep. No question. Especially if Kawhi's, if Kawhi's healthy, that matters.
You're talking about, like, who does Dallas have to guard anybody? Clippers got, like, five guys who can guard everybody if Kawhi's healthy. And they would be tough. They would be a tough, tough
Dallas
out.
Dallas get by the Clippers? That's, yeah.
Maybe Luka gives them problems in the playoffs. Think about.
They lose, though. Didn't they win one series against the Clippers?
No, they took them to seven both times. Yeah. But Luka averaged like 41.
Yeah,
or something.
I remember he had that buzzer beater in the bubble.
All right. Well, that's our trade deadline.
Anyway, this is the Mavs.
That's our trade deadline preview.
If there is a trade, we'll have an emergency pod of some substance. But yeah, we don't foresee something huge.
Here's the other wild thing. I think it was you tweeted something about. Somebody said something about.
I hope this ain't no 2016.
No, Ryan Rollins, and I was like, they couldn't have traded.
Yeah, I know. Someone said
like,
that. Ryan Rollins, dude. I didn't see like.
That's not the trade.
Oh, no,
right?
It was Brian Smith, producer Brian Smith.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, Ryan. No emergency, Ryan Rollins. But I was like, there's no. I thought they traded.
Ryan Rollins had a Jones fracture. That dates back to the summer that they're deciding to get surgery on. Ryan Rollins' rookie season is over. That is what Marcus is referring to.
I've been duped all day. I thought Ryan Rollins got traded. I thought Jared Vanderbilt sent that tweet today.
This is not Marcus. We're 2 days before the deadline. There's going to be a lot of fake tweets out there. You really need to monitor yourself.
Listen, and the blue checks don't even work anymore.
No,
like, you can't even.
Yeah,
you can't even. I'm blaming Gareth Bale. I'm blaming Pebble Beach. Yeah.
Marcus is going to think like Durant's on the move to the Warriors tomorrow or something. He's going to wake up like, we got to do a pot on this, right?
Oh, my God. Guys, this is a pretty big one. This is a big one. Like, you know what? They just they just traded for Andrew Bogut. That's something big here.
I was trying to think
2016.
That might come from Bogut's feed.
That was way before that. I was trying to think 2016. I couldn't think
of it. Well, guess who Kevin Durant signed in 2016.
That's a good one.
All right. A few weeks after Jared Vanderbilt's tweet, actually, if you really think about it.
He probably just completely ignored Vanderbilt's tweet. How could he do
Jared
that?
Jared Vanderbilt might have been a middle schooler, now that I think about it. That was pretty long ago. All right. We will we'll talk to you post-deadline.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.